Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We were there on Wednesday night. I want to start out there again, kind of our foundation scripture, we'll call it, 1 Corinthians 15. And we're talking about holding fast to your confession. And this is our second teaching, so part two. Holding fast to your confession. You know, the Bible, we read that scripture actually on Wednesday night where the Bible tells us to hold fast to our confession. And, you know, and then in the other place in Hebrews, it says without wavering. And so if you weren't here, go ahead, go get the CD or go online, the website, or go to the podcast and listen to it, because it's something that we all need. And we're just talking about holding fast to our confession, amen, and not being a quitter, amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Hallelujah. Notice He gives it to us. Amen. Well, if He gives it to us, we ought to take it. But it gives us some instructions. Therefore, have you know, one guy used to say, whenever you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Amen. All right? Because it's connecting to the previous thing said, right? Because He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be. You know, there are certain things we're to be. Right? You know, when the Bible says be, that means this is what we're to be. It means we can be that. Amen. The Bible says be holy. Amen. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit. There's be's throughout the Bible. It tells us because He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ that we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. So what is He telling us? Well, He's just telling us if God has given us the victory, we need to just stick with it. Hallelujah. Hard to preach with all this shouting going on. Maybe stick with it isn't your favorite message, okay? So we call it holding fast to your confession. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? Amen. But you know, we got to stay with it, right? You know, we're going to talk about some things because we go through some hard times sometimes. Just because we're believers, just because we're faith people, doesn't mean we don't face challenges. Everybody does. And so we're going to talk about sticking with it and staying with it. But He said to be this. He said be. This is what you got to be, folks. We got to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. It's not in vain, but you got to stick with it. Amen. Amen. God's given us the victory. Praise God. The moment you got born again, you got the victory. Amen. I mean, you know, signing a car doesn't change you. Coming to church doesn't change you into a new creature. Being baptized doesn't change you into a new creature. Going through confirmation class doesn't change you into a new creature. And I'm not knocking any of that. I'm just making a point. Being born again causes you to become a new creature. Amen. And if someone says they got born again, they don't change, and I don't really know that they became a new creature. I'm really pretty sure they didn't. You know what I'm saying? I have a minister friend, and his name's Steve. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. But he was so wild before he got saved, you know, into drugs and everything. He was a wild man and got born again. And when he got born again, his family thought he lost his mind. And put him, and had him committed. Now that's a man that changed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, see, they didn't know anything about being born again. But Steve got born again, and when he got born again, he so radically changed. His family thought he lost his mind and had him put away. He's out now, everybody. That was 30 years ago. That's radical, isn't it? But that's how much this man changed when he got saved. He got something. He got something called eternal life. But God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I told you now, see, we talked about this Wednesday night. You know, I'm going to look at a lot of scripture, okay? So you got to stay with me on this because I just want to show you some things and kind of just encourage us just to stick with it, you know. Amen. Now let's, I'll tell you what, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll launch out with some new things right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that scripture in Corinthians, there's another one in 2 Corinthians, which we read Thursday night, which we're not going to read this morning. It says that God always leads us into triumph in Christ. So God's into victory, amen? He's into us winning, praise God. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I guess I'm going to have to tell you everything this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, hey, you know, there is a 2 Thessalonians, did you know that? Some of you just found out this morning, didn't you? This is a tough crowd this morning. I mean, if your husband and wife kiss and make up, get it over with so I can preach. Now, all right, 2 Thessalonians 2:18. Hold on a minute here. Maybe the Lord's talking to me here. Yeah, he's no 2 Thessalonians 2:18. He's talking to me. God's got a word for me. It's not, there's nothing there. You know, like when you do the Bible Russian roulette, I'm just going to pick a scripture. Judas went out and hung himself. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, if you want to be precise about it. All right, got it?
Got it.
All right. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul. Everybody say Paul.
Paul.
Once and time and again, but Satan hindered us. Isn't that interesting? That here we're talking about, we're not talking about, you know, you or me. We might understand if it was you or me. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. He said, Satan hindered me. I wanted to come more than once. And he threw a roadblock in the way. Well, I'm thinking if he can do that to Paul, he could probably pull that on a few of us. But I do want you to notice now, it didn't say he stopped me. He said he hindered me. He delayed it. You think he could delay things today? Now, there are people saying, no, he couldn't delay anything today. Well, he delayed Paul from getting to the Thessalonians. Now, he's a loser, but he hadn't quit yet. Are you following me now? See, so if he could delay Paul, then he could delay things in our life, which would mean we'd have to stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because if we would quit, then that'd stop the process. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So who's directing heaven? In this scenario, who's directing heaven? We are. What we bind, heaven binds. Who moves first? It didn't say what heaven binds, you bind. It says what you bind, heaven will bind. What you loose, heaven will loose. Now, it has to be in line with the will of heaven, of course. But we're the ones that make the move. Right?
Amen.
So if he could hinder things in Paul's life, then I'm sure he could hinder things in our life and slow it down. This message isn't about the devil, so relax. But I'm making a point that we have to stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Stick with what we know and just stay with it. Because eventually he's going to lose. I mean, he already has lost, but you know, I mean, the story comes to my mind, and most of us in here have probably heard it, if not all of us, about the time when Daniel was praying and asking God for some things, and finally the angel shows up and he said, I was sent the first day you prayed. But, you know, but he got into some warfare, and he held him from getting to Daniel. This angel that come with the answer got in to a warfare with a spiritual principality, the Bible teaches, and he said it took me 21 days to get here. Now, what if Daniel had stopped believing It would have stopped the process, see. But Daniel stayed steadfast, and he stuck with it. Now, you know, maybe this doesn't encourage you. Maybe it makes you feel sad. Maybe you think, you know, God's a drive-through God. And, let's don't even say that about God. Let's just say it this way. Maybe you think the spirit realm works like McDonald's. You put your order in and drive around, and there's your burger. But how do you know it doesn't work that way? You got to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? Say, sometimes things happen fast. I've seen that. So we're not setting ourselves up for you know, always waiting for things. But when we do have to wait, we need to know there's nothing wrong with us. And just stick with it. Do what the Bible said. Stay immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God will keep His word. What He said, He'll keep it. But we got to stand fast for it. If we don't stand, then it's not going to come to pass in our life. Amen. So if he hindered Paul, how many believe he could probably hinder us? He tries to gum things up, see? You know what gum things up? I'm not talking too country for you, am I? How many understood gum things up? Okay. That means slow it down, stick it up, make it messy. Amen. And two things. Don't spit your gum out on the parking lot. And I hope that's not none of your cigarette butts I'm seeing out there in that parking lot. Hallelujah. Because I sure am seeing a lot of them, and I hope they're not coming from Oasis Church. Love you, everybody. Hallelujah. You think I'm bad? When Larry was here, you know, before he moved to Florida, he thought he owned that parking lot. You drove the wrong way in there and he'd pull you over. He was possessor of the parking lot. You know, the people next door started parking on. He told me, he said, Pastor, I'm going to go over and I'm going to tell them to get their vehicles off our parking lot. I said, no, you're not. Why? I said, because our vehicles are on their parking lot. Let's don't start a war with them. Some of y'all park on their side, don't you? Well, how many want to throw it off of that? So I had to calm Larry down a little bit and say, no, we're not starting a war with the next door neighbors because we use their parking lot and sometimes we need it on Sunday morning when everybody decides to show up. We need that extra parking, you know. See, some of you have been coming here for 6, 7, 8 months, and you haven't even seen everybody come to church here yet. Hang around. A couple years, you'll see them all there. They'll be here. But every once in a great while, I don't know why, everybody decides to come on one Sunday, and then we need their parking lot and their parking lot. So I'm like, Larry, don't start a war with these people over parking, because we need their side too. Thank God for people like that. I mean, he is awesome, but he was really awesome, you know, taking care of things and doing stuff like that. And you mess with the parking lot, he'd be on you in a heartbeat, you know. When he put them signs up one way, he meant it. Don't you come in that way. Amen. I'm just having some fun with his expense this morning. I love him. Amen. Now, We have to know that just because things aren't coming to pass, you know, a lot of times people say, what's wrong with my faith? I thought I had some faith here. Well, you do. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. You do. But you got to sometimes, faith's got to stick with it sometimes. Faith sometimes, you know, the Bible says as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. There's going to be some hardness sometimes. You know, Brother Hagin, I remember him one time preaching, and he was talking about how, you know, the judgment of God, you know, if you don't live a certain way, sickness can come on you and so forth. He said, naturally, I don't preach that in my healing crusades. I'm trying to get people healed. But he said, it's a fact of the Bible, you know. I mean, there's other sides of the Bible besides just, you know, blessing good, hallelujah, glory to God, you know, hit the floor and run. There's, you know, the old Pentecost used to say, jump as high as you want to is when you hit the ground, walk straight. Amen. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, he said Satan hindered me. Now, he didn't say he stopped me. He said he hindered me. He doesn't have the power to stop us. But what he's trying to do is get us to give up. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. The Bible says, who's my, talking about the devil, whose minds the God of this, I mean, now New King James this morning, the God of this age, or the traditional says the God of this world, has blinded, who do not believe, or they don't walk by faith, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the Bible calls Satan the God of this world, or this age, this period we're living in. What does it mean? And you know it's little g. How many notice that? It's not capitalized. He's not big G, and he's never getting a capital on his name. Sometimes when I'll write a letter and I'll have his name in there, I don't even capitalize his name. He isn't worthy of it. The spell check will usually fix it, but anyway, you know, because it doesn't know any better. It's not born again. But, you know, the thing of it is he, but he is still God of this age. What does that mean? Here's another way to say that, and it'll make more sense. Ruler. He's in control of this age. Now, I think that's obvious. I mean, the age we're living in isn't glorifying God. Right? I mean, just look at our society. Does it glorify God? No, it doesn't glorify God. It glorifies the devil. All right, that's because he's in control. And why is he in control? The Bible says he's blinded their minds. And he wants to keep their minds blinded, lest, now here's the reason, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now think about what's being said there. It's just telling us that if the world would get a glimpse of the light, he'd lose them. If they really saw Jesus for who he is, he'd lose them. And he knows that. So he keeps their minds blinded so they don't see the light. I know this process very well. I went through it when I was in my late teens, early 20s. I went through this process of the God of this world had my mind blinded. I just lived the way heathen lived. And I was happy living that way. Until all of a sudden, seeming like out of nowhere, I started seeing light. Glimpses of that light of the gospel started filtering through the darkness of my mind. And the next thing you know, I started a process, it was a long process, of going towards the light. And I found out later on, it's because people were praying. And as they were praying, those blinders were being pulled off my mind that the devil had on there, and now I'm seeing the light. And you know what? Jesus looks a lot better than the devil any old day. Now, my mother was a spirit-filled, and is, she's still alive, spirit-filled, born-again, a Holy Ghost woman. And, of course, she would witness to us and things like that and pray for us and all. And she would tell me, I can remember her telling me, she'd say, now, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And I thought, I'm not serving anybody. I'm serving myself, you know. And then there was a night, it came, that I realized I was serving the devil. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I was with one of my best friends, and we got in his car, and we're getting ready to leave his brother's house. And as we get into the car, you know, I don't want to sound super spiritual, but I'm just telling you what really happened. I mean, I'm a sinner. I don't know about demons or stuff like that. Of course, I've heard of them, but I don't know that they're real. But I get in his car with him, you know, he's, you know, and all of a sudden, we just feel the presence of evil, like a demonic spirit came into this car. And I'll never forget it. At the same time, we both looked at one another and said the same thing out of our mouth. What are we going to do? I said, man, put the car in gear and let's get out of here. And that night, I remembered, Mom said you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And I thought, well, there you go. She's right. I must be serving the devil. Now, a few years later, Bob Dylan got saved and wrote a song off my mom's revelation. It was called, You Gotta Serve Somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. So, listen, if you're not serving Jesus today, you're not in neutral. You may not want to serve the devil, but you are by default. He's your Lord. When you die, you'll go where he's going because he's your Lord. You're going to go where whoever your Lord is. You're going their direction. I'd change. I'd change this morning. Amen. And you may think, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something. I already lived through it. Amen. Hell's real. Devil's real. But he's no match for a born-again believer that stands in faith and won't quit. Hallelujah. He's the God of this world, but we're not of this world. Think about it now. Just think about it just for a minute. If he's the God of this world, that means if we operate by the world's principles, well, he's in control of that. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. Let me see where I want to go. I want you to go to, I think we're in Corinthians, right? Okay, since we're in Corinthians, let's just go to, let me make sure. We're just doing some teaching on this. I hope you're getting something out of this. Get the other night, get Wednesday night's message, because it'll set you up for some of the things we're talking about. Let's go to, well, since we're in 2 Corinthians 4, let's just go down to the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 17. We're already here, so let's just look at this right now. Verse 17, the Bible says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, everybody say light affliction. Now, you know what a light affliction is? That's somebody else's. When they're yours, they're heavy. Is that right? I like what the Message Bible, if you want to call it a Bible, I don't know that you even give it the title of a Bible. I'm not being critical, but I'm just saying, it just takes a lot of liberty. It's a paraphrase. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we know what it is, right? What's a paraphrase? Well, then they'll tell you that. It's a paraphrase. That means it's somebody telling you their opinion of what that verse said. It's not an actual translation from the Hebrew or Greek, see? And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we know what we're dealing with. So it's a paraphrase Bible. In other words, it's this Peterson man, he told you what he thought. It was his modern-day rendition of the Scriptures, what he thought it was saying. And one of the things that, one thing he says that I like, some things the Message Bible says is so funny. One thing he says where it calls it light affliction, in the Message it calls it small potatoes. Now, how many of y'all feel like some of your potatoes are pretty large? All right? See, but here's the thing. Did you know, and there are things that we go through in life that are pretty heavy, right? To us, but did you know the moment you step into heaven, you realize they are nothing but light? When you compare what you're going through now, even if you had a disease and it was a deadly disease, or you had a divorce or any of the tragedies of life, even when you get to heaven, that'll just seem like that wasn't nothing to that. Remember, Jesus said a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow. But as soon as she has the child, she forgets the anguish because of the child. I've heard guys say when their wife was going through labor, she said to them, "I'm going to kill you. Don't you ever come near me again." But then when it's over, you know what? I believe he needs a little sister. You were going to kill me 25 minutes ago. What happened? Forgot about that. I don't know, you know. Sometimes we do go through some heavy things, but we have to have the right perspective when we look at it in terms of what's available to us, what's been provided for us, what God has done for us. It's really light in comparison to the glory that's ahead of us, or even the glory we can have now. Amen. Now notice this, because he said, let's read verse 17 again. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Now, not automatically, all right? He says, "While." Everybody say, "While." Wow. See, this is when it's doing it. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it doesn't just automatically work for us, a weight of glory. It's got to be while we're not looking at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if you're a natural-minded person, you say, how could this be? I mean, when you read, if you're a natural-minded person, when you're reading Romans 7, you think, well, what? Paul says, you know, I don't do the things that I want to do, but I do the things that I don't want to do, and if it's not me that's doing it, you're thinking, well, who's doing it then? When you're natural-minded, it's like, Paul, what have you been smoking today? But when you're spiritual-minded, you begin to realize he's talking about how he's having a struggle with his flesh, and he has to keep it in line, see? Because it'll do things that he doesn't want it to do if you don't keep it in line. What Paul's saying here is this. He's saying, we're not to look, we're not to keep our focus on the natural things going on in our life. We're to focus on things that can't be seen. Now, how do you see things that can't be seen? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is he talking about? Well, we're to look to the spiritual things. How many know you can't see? If you're dealing with a sickness in your body, you can't physically see healing. But it's there because it's a promise of God. So what are you to look at? Well, you're not supposed to just continue looking at your problems. You're to look at what the Word says. Real hearty amen going on here. But if you don't do that, the glory's not coming. So you have to look at things that are not seen. You have to, how do you do that? Well, you look at the promises of God. You may not see them in your life operating right now, but that's what you're to look to. Even though you don't see them physically, I mean, you can see where they're written in the Bible, but you may not physically see them operating right now, but that's what you're to look to. You're to look to that. You're to keep your focus, your gaze on that. I've told you before, and sometimes you go to pray for people that's got stuff really seriously wrong with them. If you look at them, their faith will go out the window. You got to look to the Word. You got to focus on that. I've seen people in the hospital before. I thought, all the faith wants to drain out of you. You go to there, pray for them, and your faith just wants to drain out. And you got to adjust that and say, no, I can't look to that because there's something greater than that. It's called the promises of God. Amen. They're bigger. They're greater. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to tie this in that verse we just read, the verse 4, which says he's the God of this world or the God of this age. All right, so if we try to fight him in this age, well, you know what? He's master there. He'll beat you. You got to get him over in the arena of faith to beat him. He loses there every time. But if you just stay, see, if you get over here on his turf and all you can do is look at your circumstances and the natural stuff going on, he'll beat you. He'll blind you to the truth. And I don't care how much I get up or any of these other ministers here in the house get up and talk about the promise of God, you'll hear them, but you won't hear them. You'll see them, but you won't see them. In other words, they won't register on your spirit. You won't latch onto them because you're allowing your vision to be clouded by what you're looking at. You understand? I mean, you know, let me just pick on Brother Greg here. You know, Brother Greg, all 5'8" of his glorious body is sitting there in that chair. 5'7", sorry, I didn't mean to exaggerate. 5'7", 5'6¾" of his glorious body. I mean, that's still, but did you know that, you know, I can totally remove him from this whole sanctuary by my hand. He's gone. I still see lovely Miss Terry, but he is out of the picture. Now, is he bigger than my hand?
Yes.
Is he bigger than my hand? No, he's not. Take a look. My hand don't cover his whole body. He's bigger than. Okay, you said yes. Okay, let's try this again. Is he bigger than my hand?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Now, who all said no?
We said yes.
You all said yes?
Yes.
Well, I heard no. See, there you go. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You got to have revelation knowledge because you said yes, I heard no. Okay, is he bigger than my hand?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad you wised up. This will come clear to you if you'll just pray a little bit here. I was thinking you were saying no, but you were saying yes, weren't you? Okay, so I'm like Fonzie. Remember when Fonzie was wrong on that one show? You old enough remember what was that show?
Happy Day.
Happy Day. One time he was wrong. It took him the whole show to admit he was wrong. He would almost get it out. He'd go, I was finally at the end of the show, I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong. Now you take a note of that because that didn't happen very often. Now, write it down, mark it down. All right, is he bigger than my hand?
Yes.
All right, then why is my hand covering his whole body? Because it's what I'm focusing on. It's what I got in front of me. You see, that's what happens in people's life. They start looking at their problems and they get bigger than the promises because that's what they're focusing on. That's what they think about. Oh, I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this. Well, yes, you do have that problem. We're not saying that you can't notice it, you don't see it, but that's not what you're to look to. You're to look to the promise of God, and it'll get bigger, and it'll cover the problem. See, if you get your focus on it, you'll see it, and it'll cover the problem. It doesn't mean the problem's gone, but eventually the promise will make the problem go away.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's go, because I wanted to add that in since we were there and I left it out. I want to talk about that a little bit, about where our focus is supposed to be. Because see, if you get over in this other area where you're just focusing on the natural and all that and all your problems, the devil will blind you. He'll blind you. He'll make that bigger than the promise. He'll make that bigger than God. It doesn't matter how much I get up and preach. You'll think, well, he just preaches that because that's what he preaches. It doesn't really work. Well, it does, because it works for me. And it works for thousands of other people and millions of other people. And so it does work, but it's a matter of fact, what you're seeing is bigger than what I'm saying. God's Word is the biggest thing on the planet. See, Jesus said it's like this. He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest seed that be in the earth. But when you put it in the ground, it grows up, becomes a tree, see? And all the birds of the air can lodge under the shadow of it. When you have that little mustard seed, have you ever seen a mustard seed? All right, a little bitty tiny thing. You take that and show that to your canary Freddy and say, Freddy, this is going to be your home. He's going to laugh at you. Because he goes, there's no way I can land on that. You know, Freddy, no, all you and all your friends are going to live in this tree. See, he doesn't know about the planting part. When you plant it and you leave it alone, it grows up and then he can get under, he can land on it. See, I see that with people. Sometimes they've got something wrong with them, and you take what the Word says to them, and to them, it looks so small, it's not the answer to the problem.
Come on.
All the doubt, all the unbelief, all the curse, all the past is bigger than what the Word says. But what we've learned as believers is if we'll just hang on to it, if we'll just hold fast to our confession, if we'll just plant it in our hearts and believe it and water it and keep feeding on it, keep watering it. You know how you water the Word? With more of the Word.
Right.
You just keep watering it, keep watering it. We know what happens is there all of a sudden, after a while, there's a growth process starts taking place. And the next thing you know, that seed grows up and it's bigger than all the other seeds in your life. But if you throw it away just because it looks small, then it's never going to grow for you. I've had it happen where I've had people that were dealing with issues and take them the Word of God, and they're polite about it. Most of them are. A few give you the finger, but most are nice. I'm just being truthful. You got to have some tough skin if you're going to minister to people, because they're not always easy to minister to. So sometimes you get a little tough skin, or you just suck your thumb and go home. And so, you can't just let that deter you. It's like that person's disconnected. Move on to the next. You know what I'm saying? And so, but you'll get people that will just politely, you may give them stuff on different subjects, that will help them, and they never do read it. They just throw it to the side. So what do? They toss the seed away. It's not that they're bad people. It's that they don't believe that's the answer to their problem.
Right.
See, if you were told you had, you know, 6 months to live, that's a big problem. But if somebody would come in and say, you know, the Bible says by His stripes you were healed, that looks so small to you. If you're not careful, you just toss it out. No way that could be the answer to my problem. Well, it is. Now, in that seed form, it won't do it yet. It won't fix you yet. But if you plant it, and you water it, and you fertilize it, and you let it grow up, there'll come a day it'll fix your problem. Amen. Now, all right, since we were able to go to that, I wanted to go to that scripture. Did you get that? All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, because I want to continue on talking about how the devil will try to blockade things, see? And you have to understand that, and you have to do just exactly, if you're going to have the victory, you got to stay with it, you know. But there's times that people, you know, sometimes think that, you know, there's something odd here because I'm going through a test and all that. But I want to show you something here as we get ready to close out. Did you get something this morning?
Yeah.
All right, 1 Peter, let's go there. I have a few more things I want to look to, and I'll go through them fast. 1 Peter chapter 4, go there. Got it? Verse 12, Bible says, Beloved, that's you, right? Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. All right. When we go through tests or trials, is it strange? I said, is it strange?
No.
I didn't say, is it fun? I said, is it strange? Not according to this. Look at verse 8, chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what does may imply? He has to have permission. If I'm over at your house, you know, and we don't, you know, we know one another, but, you know, we aren't all that friendly. I mean, what I'm saying is we don't hang around one another. Or let's just say it's the first time I've ever been to your house. First time we've ever met. You invited me over and said, I want to talk to you. And so I come to your house, and we sit down, and we start talking. The next thing you know, I get up, and I'm in the refrigerator. Would you think that's strange?
Yes.
Why? Well, I mean, Pastor Jerry would, but I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about him. He's been over my house before, and I wasn't there home yet. When I got home, there was candy wrappers all over the place. He didn't even got the decency to throw them in the trash can. They're laying on the end table there. I know, amen. I'm not adding any jam to this. But, you know, he's welcome to. He feels at home. You see what I'm saying? But, you see, May, what would I do? If I'm going to be polite, and I'm going to say, unlike some people, I'm going to be polite. Now, I don't even do that at his house now. I just get whatever he's got. But if I'm going to be polite, I would say, may I have. Let's say I wanted a glass of tea. May I have a glass of tea? That means you could tell me, no, you're not getting any. Right? See, when it says, whom he may devour, what's that mean? He has to have permission to do it. I know that, Pastor, and God will give him permission. No, it isn't God giving him permission. It's us. He's looking for somebody to devour. Who is he going to devour? Those that aren't standing on the word. Now, he'll attack everybody, but devour means he eats you up. Amen. You know, Brother Cap said one time years ago, he was preaching, and he said this. He said, you know, some Christians, I think he might have said, they're so gullible and pliable, you know, like a piece of yarn for a backbone instead of a crowbar. He said, you know, the Bible says that God, he knocks out the teeth of the ungodly in Psalms. He said, well, doesn't the devil qualify? He's had his teeth pulled, but some Christians are so pliable and gullible, he can just gum them to death. Well, Sammy, they ain't got any sticking with it, any fortitude, any intestinal fortitude. I'm not quitting, devil. I'm going to fight you and you're going to lose. Amen. Now look, he's seeking whom he may devour. Now notice this, all right, verse 9, resist him. What does that mean? Stand against him. How do you do it? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What does that mean? Everybody else is going through the same stuff. Now, maybe not the exact same thing you're going through, but that we've all got our own set of testings and trials and dealing with the devil where we have to deal with him. I know he's defeated and we're not magnifying him, but if you don't know that, you might think there's something wrong with me and my faith and I'm not spiritual because I'm having this test or this trial. Sometimes it's against your mind. Sometimes it's against your finances. Sometimes it's against your physical body. Now, I will say this. There is a difference between trouble that we cause and tests that the devil brings. You can have trouble in your life because you're not living by the Word of God, but you would know that, right? I mean, you know, if you're doing like, well, Pastor, I got marriage trouble. I believe it's the devil. Well, you know, I had to tell a couple one time, you know, they came in and tell me how they're talking to one another. Well, you can't talk with one another that way. Stay married. All right, so see, the devil's not their problem. It's their mouth. Are you with me now? They were talking nasty to one another in my office. I'm not talking about cursing, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, throw one of these over my shoulder and slam them to the floor here for us. So we'd break this up. You know, and, you know, I'm going to step in here. That was before Brian. I'd call Brian. You put the cuffs on the guy, all right? But, you know, they were just, you know, they were doing their thing. And I'm just, and I told them, I said, look, you can't talk to one another that way. And stay married. Now, you want to stay married? I don't even think they want to stay married, did they? I think they just said, yeah, because I was there. But I said, if you want to stay married, you got to shut that up. You can't talk to one another that way. You may think it, but don't say it. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, so was the devil their problem? No, their big mouth was. The way they were talking. Well, you can't say that to one another. You can't call one another names like that and stay married. It's not going to work. You got to talk sweet and nice, you know, like James and Mona. I mean, like James, anyway. Praise the Lord. I mean, wait. Oh, and Mona. All right. Aren't they a lovely couple? Look how sweet they look. Well, James is always hanging around with that redhead. I've been telling Mona about that, but anyway. Okay, for the CD, the redhead's his daughter. All right. Hey, man. I called him. I said, what are you doing with that pretty redhead? Well, you know, he did it at Dr. Barclay one time. The Ministerial Society in his city, they always wanted to catch him because, you know, they don't like the way he preaches, you know. A lot of people don't like the way he preaches. The devil doesn't like the way he preaches. People around with the devil don't like the way he preaches. And so they were always trying to catch him, you know, in some kind of scandal, you know. So he said they called him one day and said, well, we got proof positives. You're hanging around. You've been hanging with another woman. He said, oh, really? He said, I'd like to know who it is. He said, I don't know. You know, if I'm doing it, I should know who it is, right? He said, I'll be over. So he went over and they slammed a picture down of this nice looking blonde he was with at the mall. Right there it is. He goes, that's my daughter, you idiots. I think it's okay to hang out with your daughter, right? You know, at the mall. Okay. Are you still with me now? I'm closing. I told you that, and I really mean it. But I do need to go to James real quickly. James chapter 1. Give me just a few more minutes, and we'll pray over you and let you go. James chapter 1. Thank God for His Word. James chapter 1. Now, don't miss it now. Of course, next Sunday we'll continue to talk about this. Brother John's going to be preaching Wednesday night. Isn't that right, brother? All right, he's up Wednesday night. But then next Sunday we'll be talking about this again. And you know, we just need to know we got to hold fast to things. We can't just let the devil, you know, take us out. Think about this. Think about how many years, some of you, how many years you've put in to your faith walk. Now think about all you'd lose if you let the devil stop you now. All that work for nothing. Well, that's not going to happen. Amen? Amen. I said, that's not going to happen to you. Amen? All right, James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Don't you wish that said if? But it says when. And notice it didn't say it was joy. I've never been in a trial and thought, whoo, this is so much fun. Hallelujah. Hope more come. Because you never know when they're going to come, do you? I mean, you wake up one morning, you're just minding your own business, you're being good and sweet and nice, you know, everything's on top of the world. For the end of the day, there's a major trial fell on you. You fell into a major one. The Bible said, count it all joy. Well, that means you have to count it. You have to reckon it as joy. Well, why in the world would you do that? Well, you have to know something. Look at this. Knowing, everybody say knowing, that the testing of your faith produces patience. Or the King James says, worketh, doesn't it? I like that. I like that a little better. It puts it to work. And that, now let's say it this way. How about the word endurance? Would that be patience? Now let me tell you what patience is and what patience isn't. Patient isn't just putting up with something. True Bible patience means you're standing fast against it. How many got that? See, patience doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to wait till it all blows over. No. Patience means I'm standing in faith against it. See. Now notice this, the testing of your faith. Well, you must have some faith. Y'all with me now? See, the devil's, because he's smart enough to know whether you got the faith to pull it off or not. Right? He's been around long enough to know. So if you do have, then he's going to test it. What point would it be for me to test something that I know can't stand? All right, let's pick on Greg again. All right. Let's just say Deanne and I have a piece of red yarn. And I say, Deanne, now you go to that side of the sanctuary. I'll go to this side. We're going to stretch this tight, and we're going to test and see if this will hold Greg up. We're going to have him sit on it. I mean, no, that's pointless. We know it's not going to. All right? But now, if we had, you know, a thicker wire, we might test that out and check that out. See what I'm saying? That's a lame illustration. But anyway, you understand what I'm pointing. There's no point in testing something that you know is not going to hold up. Anybody ever ice skate before on the lakes? Well, you people live in a world of your own, don't you? When I was a kid, I marvel about every year about how that we have the climate change is just terrible. Why? They'll talk about it is so hot. It's hot every August. I've been doing this for about 60 years. They've all gotten hot. Oh, it's so cold. It gets cold every February. Every one of them. There's nothing new. Your brain is fried. I lived through the 1970s coming ice age. It never came. Man is not going to destroy the earth. Read your Bible. When Jesus comes back, it's still going to be here. He said it's going to be like the days of Noah. Are you with me? I mean, Noah did not have a catalytic converter on the ark. All right, since that's going over so big, let's just move on. Praise the Lord. But to think that we have the ability to destroy something God made for God's ready for it to be destroyed. Yeah, the earth's going to get destroyed, but he's going to burn it with fire. Give us a new heaven, a new earth. Amen. Now, where was I before I got off on, you know, climate change here? James, all right. Now, James, now notice, if your faith's being tested, you got faith, right? But notice this, verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, the reason you can count on joy is because when you're being tested, that means you have faith. That means if you stick with your faith, you are coming out on the other side lacking nothing. What the devil is doing is going to work for your good. Now let's close by going over to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Go there. Did you get something out of this today? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we'll close right here, and then we'll let you go to lunch. You don't want to go right now anyway? We got to get all the other church folks out of the way. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 26. Let's read this, and this is it for today. Are you there? Verse 26, this is Moses talking. He said, I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road. I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites who dwelt in Ar, did for me until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving us. So this is Moses, and he's talking to the descendants of the land where they're passing through, you know, as they've come out of Egypt, asking for passage. All right, he's just asking. He said, I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to get in warfare with you. I'm going to leave you alone. You can sell me food. You can sell me money. You can make some money off of me, okay? I've done this before with another group, and that's all I want to do. But notice verse 30 says, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate. Now notice that. All right, the Lord hardened this guy's heart, so he wouldn't let them do it. All right, but there was a reason why. Notice this. Everybody say that. This is the reason then, right? That he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it that you may inherit this land. Now, I think that's interesting. God's saying, you know, he's not going to let you go through because I'm going to harden his heart, make his heart obstinate, and you're going to have to fight him to get on through there. And he said, I'm doing that so you could have his land. In other words, whenever I get in the battle, I need to realize God's got some spoils in there for me, honey. Amen. Hallelujah. And if I'll just stick with it, I'm going to get the spoils of war. Amen. Everybody wants the spoils, right? Not many people want the conflict. I don't either, but it's part of the process. You know, Wigglesworth, a great man of faith. Have you ever heard of him? Brother Wigglesworth. You know, one of the famous sayings that he said was something like this, Great faith comes out of great trials. Great victory comes out of great battles. In other words, you're going to have to go through some conflict to get the spoil. Oh, Pastor, don't tell me that. Well, there are times that's the way it is, right? You're going to have to fight. I think of some of the things that people have gone through in their life, even in this church. I could name you out. I won't pick on people or single you out, but they've gone through some conflict, and man, they came out on the other side with some great victories. They got some spoils out of it. Hallelujah. If you're gonna be a champion, you gotta go through some things to be the champion. Why was Goliath a champion? Because he beat everybody till David came along. Amen. You know, people, I want to be like David. Well, do you want to go through what David did to be like David? I want to be like Jesus. Why? Jesus had to go through some battles, right? He had to go through some conflict. We're not magnifying the conflict, but we're just making it a point so that you don't think it's strange and that you don't think you have any faith. Amen. And just realize what you're doing is your faith is being tested. Is it genuine? It's being proved. How many of you, it's good that you know your faith is good. See, there's some things I've been through. If they come around again, I think, I got this. This is a piece of cake. I've already dealt with this. I know my faith's good for this. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. See, we've already whipped some things. See, even as a church, we've whipped some things. It took us several years to get our own building. I remember the first building we were in. How many remember that? All right. See, it took us several years to get our own building. Now we got our own building. We whipped it by faith. Hallelujah. And the next one will be easier. Why? Because we know our faith's good. It'll do it. It'll be nicer, better, bigger, and everything else. I mean, we're not going to get a worse building. You know, you're supposed to go from glory to glory, not from... You got that. All right, I think I'll quit just because I think you might be done. Not that I'm done, but anyway, I just might just quit here. But how many understand what I'm talking about this morning? How many got it now? See, you need to understand. See, we're not magnifying the devil. We're not magnifying trials. But we do need to understand sometimes if we're going to have victory, we're going to go through battles. There's going to be some battles. And it doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. Our faith's being tested. Amen. And God's got a way of bringing you out on the other side with more than you ever had. Hallelujah. Amen. But you got to do exactly what 1 Corinthians says. Thanks. Remember the scripture we opened up. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore be immovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, you have to do that part where I'm staying put. You can't win a fight if you don't fight. Last year, I had all my appointments around me, getting ready to watch this boxing match on TV. I got, you know, my appointments, that means my drink and my food. I'm all settled in and comfy, man. Turn it on. You know, I record all that stuff so I don't have to see any of the stuff I don't want to see. You know, commercials and stuff like that. So I just watch the actual fight, you know. And so I got it to the start of the fight, you know, and they come over to the middle of the ring, you know, and you know the referee's there. I want a good hard fight, good clean fight, obey my commands, touch them up. Okay, we ready. This other guy over here, he walks back to his corner, opens the ropes, and climbs out and goes back to the dressing room. It wasn't much of a fight to that. And let me tell you something he did not do. You want to know what he did not do? He did not win. You lose every fight you run from. You don't even have a chance of winning. So what if I fight and I die fighting? It's better than die not fighting. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.